Capital 263.
Hello everyone and welcome to Technology. My name is Dion.
My name is Gary Tindai Manuel.
This is a podcast brought to you by Capital 263, the only podcast network in Zimbabwe. Free to say it, free to do it. And today, well, we're going to talk about something that, well, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but then one of them is something that, well, doesn't touch me in my heart per se, but it's very shocking. I've known these two companies for years. They, you know, you grow up with them. They're something that you resonate with. I mean, lots of kids today will probably grow up with Apple and Google. So for us, when I was younger, the two companies were Nokia and BlackBerry. These are the two phone companies, the big ones, you know. Having a BlackBerry meant everything. But now, things are changing.
Times have changed. Yeah, drastically. Okay, so back in the days, if you're the guy that had a BlackBerry device or an Apple device, you're like one of the cool guys, one of those elite guys.
Yeah, the BlackBerry curve, I still remember when it came
exactly,
out.
Exactly, like the 8520.
Exactly, that one. The small little, with the QWERTY keyboard and everything. It was such an amazing thing. And, well, now things have changed with Android coming up. News has came out that BlackBerry officially now has 0.0% of the market share.
And this is really shocking. Well, not really shocking. BlackBerry has been on a 7-year decline considering it actually started when in 2009, right?
Yeah, because that was when the iPhone started dominating. That was like 2 years after the iPhone came out.
Yeah, in 2009, BlackBerry hit its peak. It had about 20% off the mobile market. 20%. And now, 7 years later,
That's like one in every five smartphones.
Yeah.
No, one in every five phones, actually.
Yeah.
Being a BlackBerry.
Yeah. And last year, it was about 0.1% off the market. But now it has fallen beyond that. It's now probably 0.01% off the market. Excuse me? Yeah.
So it's now, it's like, we have to, if you round the figures, it gets to 0.0%. Like, when you look at the sheer numbers, it's ridiculous because Android and iOS count for now 96.7%.
Yes.
Which is basically everything.
And you know what's weird is that BlackBerry in 2015, well, it wasn't doing so bad. It actually shipped about 300,000 units. But then in 2016, fourth quarter, BlackBerry, by the fourth quarter, BlackBerry was only able to ship about 207,000 units, like all its phones. And this was before the BlackBerry was sold to TLC.
So this is worldwide.
This is worldwide. Sale. Everything they have.
So out of 7 billion people, only 200,000 decided to buy a BlackBerry.
Yes. And now I'm wondering, were these the numbers that were produced or are the rest of the phones still in stock?
and that's the thing. It's like, if you remember, I don't know if you know about this, and I'm not sure if the listeners know about this. In the 1980s, there was a video game crash that happened. Like, the whole video game economy crashed.
Yeah.
And Atari, one of the companies that used to make the consoles, they had a lot of games. They had these cartridges. They had, like, millions of them. They made them of Pac-Man, thinking they'd sell.
Yeah.
But because people got tired of the quality, they basically just had these like warehouses full of them, and they decided, let's just take it to the desert and just dump them. And if you go on to Arizona, New Mexico, you can actually find these cartridges of games from the 1980s that are just being there because they got dug up because they're not being used. So I wonder what will BlackBerry do. I'm not sure if they've actually made more.
I'm not sure about that. But then I know that the BlackBerry company was sold to TLC, which is a company in China, based in China. And they're planning on basically resurrecting the whole BlackBerry.
The whole brand.
Yeah, the whole brand. It's still going to be BlackBerry, but it's going to be a different phone. Same thing that Nokia did.
Yeah, Nokia has been really, I mean, that's a good segue because Nokia has been doing a lot of very interesting things recently. Like, we saw the release of the Nokia 6 for China only.
And that phone was able to sell out within a minute. And it sold about, Wait. 1.6 million units.
So it sold out within
a minute, yes.
So wait, okay, this phone has sold more than BlackBerry's phones have sold in a whole quarter. This one phone.
No, it has actually outsold BlackBerry in the last 3 years.
3 years.
in a minute.
Wow.
And that's just amazing, because back then it was like, you know, you look at Nokia and you're like, yeah, this was the early 2000s. And then the late 2000s, everyone's talking about how it's now BlackBerry. But then now things have changed again. You know, it's Nokia coming up again, and then BlackBerry are just...
I think the problem that made BlackBerry and Nokia suffer together, especially BlackBerry, was that they didn't move with the times. They decided to stay with their own design. They're like, oh, since Apple's making this, let's just stick to our own thing. We're not going to follow Apple.
They didn't move away from that, you know, the screen and then the QWERTY keyboard thing.
By the time they decided to use the touchscreen, it was basically too late.
Yeah, Android was starting to become like more dominant at the time. I think that was when Android 4 came out.
Yes.
That's when they started having the proper touchscreen.
The ZTNs, and everything. So then it was basically too late for them. If BlackBerry had conformed to this whole new phone design earlier, I think it would have worked out perfectly for them. But then, it was a little too late.
Yeah, and then, you know, Nokia's story is even worse because of how they treated everything. Like, they had the opportunity to use Android, they said no. They had the opportunity to create their own OS, a modern smartphone OS, they said no. And then their final decision was to go with Microsoft. And it's like, why?
Yeah, and that didn't work out for them, because right now, the Windows is only what?
0.3%.
0.3%. Yeah. So, like, of all the phones, of all, like, the 7 billion people in the world, obviously not all of them can afford phones. Let's say roughly,
but a good amount of them, though.
Yeah, let's say probably 5 to 6 billion people in the world have phones,
or at least can afford a phone of some sort.
Yes, and of those people, only 3% of those are using Windows phones.
0.3%.
0.3%,
which is really, really sad. And on that note, you know, you wonder what's going to happen next for, like, Windows. Like, I mean, Microsoft, a big company, they're doing a lot of great things with Surface especially, but then when you look at their phones, like, have you ever used Twitter on a Lumia, like on Windows for mobile?
Nope. It's hideous. Nope. Well, most apps look terrible on Windows. And the other thing, I think the other thing that led to BlackBerry's demise is not the company itself, but then their OS. It was too strict. I mean, I still remember the way BlackBerry was limited in terms of applications compared to Java and Android, all the other, and Symbian, right?
Yes,
and all the other operating systems that were there at the time. I still remember, and being in Zimbabwe all at the time, BlackBerry services were not available in Zimbabwe, and still not available in certain countries. So it's,
we still actually officially don't have BlackBerry services either.
Exactly. And
but does it, like, the question is, does it matter anymore? Like, it the days matter. When you'd have to go, when you go into town and you're like, BlackBerry this, and unlock your BlackBerry and whatnot.
Exactly.
But then now it's like,
well, you had to get your internet unlocked on a BlackBerry.
Ridiculous.
And so yeah, I think that even though they were doing it for security purposes, and BlackBerry, even though this is weird, because Obama last year was using a specialized version of a BlackBerry smartphone, which
I bet
which
it was using Android.
Which couldn't what?
I bet it was using Android. Like, they probably modded it with Android.
No, it was basic. It was really basic. You couldn't text on it. You couldn't text on it. No, wait, you couldn't call, but you could text.
Oh yeah, that I can see why.
You couldn't do anything else. Like, all you could do was text. Not.
So through, no email.
Yeah, no third party app. Only text.
So it's basically a glorified texting machine.
Yes. But no,
oh my God.
We have to admit it. As much as you don't want to admit it, we have to admit our BlackBerry OS is. I think it's still one of the most secure operating systems in the world.
Yeah, it did very. The thing about BlackBerrys was that when RIM, the company that did TLC buy BlackBerry or RIM?
BlackBerry,
the brand BlackBerry,
yes.
Not RIM.
Yes.
So when RIM used to own BlackBerry, they basically made BlackBerry to be this business phone. They didn't really expect it to become like a mainstream thing. So a lot of business people loved using BlackBerrys because, well, their secure email, all that stuff was all together. So security was a very big important thing. Unlike, you know, Android, where it's like,
The thing with these business devices, you always see them fall out. I mean, the only phone that has been able to be used for business and still stay at the top is the Apple. And besides that, the rest of the phones have fallen out. Like, look at the Nokia, the BlackBerry, Palm. What else?
Palm, you know, Palm is a very sad story, because if you've ever seen WebOS, it's basically what Android looks like now. A lot of the similarities.
And another common example is Virtue, which was owned by Nokia.
Virtue.
You know Virtue?
I haven't heard of it.
Okay, basically Virtue is what it was like the Apple before Apple. It was these other high class, how can I describe this? It was basically a high class status business device. I mean, it had Italian leather, gold frames, silver, exactly. So it was coated in silver.
In actual silver?
Yes, they're still making them. They're still making them.
No, people still buy those.
People still buy those, but then what's the point? And each phone, it was actually a satellite phone.
Oh, yeah, that's why I haven't heard of them. But then I could imagine it was one of those elite kind of things.
Yeah, it was elite.
You don't even know about.
Each phone has got its own separate, satellite. So then that's dope. Yeah.
It has its own satellite.
It's 10,000 for a phone, so.
I would argue that's actually cheap if it comes with its own satellite.
Yeah, so that's 10,000. How many people have a $10,000 smartphone these
days? Yeah, and then you drop it.
Well, it was made out of gold, so.
Isn't the iPhone made out of aluminium?
Yeah, gold.
Yeah, but then, okay, gold doesn't chip though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
What does it?
But it's still strong. The point is, it probably heavy though, because considering it's how gold in laser.
Yeah. But then, like, did you know that Palm were the first guys to have wireless charging?
Live.
Yeah, they had this thing called I can't remember. It was the Palm Touchstone. The Palm Touchstone. If anyone wants to go, it's called the Palm Touchstone.
That is a very weird name.
To describe it, it's basically like if you took like the back of your headphone, right? Like normal headphones.
The cup side.
There we go. The cup. Not the cup side, but the flat side.
Yeah.
Like a cup, right? Then in the front, it's like flat. Yeah. Then you literally just put the phone on top of it. Then it would magnetically stick onto it and charge.
And when was this?
This was like 2009, I think. 2008.
Palm still existed in 2009.
No, those guys were actually very big, but they were like quite huge at the time, because Matias Duarte, who's the current chief design officer at Google, actually worked at Palm at the time. So you can see very big similarities between Android now and WebOS back then.
And you know what was weird, right?
Yeah.
Is that I last heard of them in 2007. That's when, I mean, that's when they were
really,
they were in their prime. They were like this huge thing. We're seeing this shift in the mobile industry.
What shift?
It's there are always three companies at the top at one point. Have you noticed?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
2007 to 2009, it was Nokia, Palm, and BlackBerry. Then from 2009 to probably 2011, it was Samsung, LG, then Apple. Then now...
Wait, LG?
Yeah, LG was really big.
What about HTC? I would argue HTC was a bit bigger than
that. I think HTC came in like a little later, like around the 2011s. That's when they really got big.
Do you remember the wait.
When they did...
Yeah, no, actually,
when they
right.
did the collab with Google to make Google. The Nexus.
Yeah, and remember the Chin phone?
Chin phone.
It had like a chin.
Cha-cha. Exactly. That's when they got big, from 2011 to about 2014. When they just started releasing these Desires everywhere. Desire X, Desire S, everything.
Yeah.
That's when they got crazy with the whole Desire thingy in HTC. So now.
And it keeps changing. And now, what could we say now is the big phone big companies that are making phones?
Well, we still have Apple, Samsung, and what can you say is big right now? What do you think?
I'm tempted just to say Google, because, you know, I'm a fanboy. But then I know that's not really the case.
They're not really. The sales, they're getting sales, but then
the Pixel's actually pretty good, but then it's not dominant.
I think it's UA, right? Yeah, you wait.
Huawei, I'm
yeah,
making
Huawei,
it, yeah.
You wait.
No, people keep getting, like, people even actually have the phone, can't even pronounce it, which is always, I've always
honestly,
been surprised.
I don't really know how it's pronounced, and
what
people
about
would
me?
Expect me, huh?
Me, the,
Xiaomi.
Is that how you pronounce
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Xiaomi.
Are you sure it's like that?
Xiaomi.
Because I was pretty confident it was Huawei for a while, then I was like, nope, it's actually Huawei.
It's Xiaomi, no, like, at least the guys on YouTube pronounce it that way, so.
Xiaomi.
Yeah.
But then it's like Xiaomi.
Dude, it's what? It's Japanese, so.
isn't Chinese. It should be. Xiaomi is Chinese, dude.
I don't know. It's Mandarin.
Yeah. But that's the thing that's confusing me. Why do they have to? But they did rebrand it to Mi when they were coming into the West. So they're like, just call it the Mi. So
the
it's
Mi.
Like the Mi Red Note. And yeah. But then, yeah, I'm liking how things are changing because we're seeing different, manufacturers.
Yeah, but then there's still two companies that will always be at the top. At least right now, it's Apple and Samsung. And Samsung is really making weird choices, so I don't know about that.
Samsung have brand loyalty. Samsung and Apple have a very strong brand loyalty. But then remember, we said the same thing about BlackBerry. BlackBerry in 2009 had such a big following and people were like so adamant to maintain. Like, remember the time when people started becoming more and more interested in iPhones and people were like, yeah, the iPhone's a big thing, man. The iPhone's the big thing. Then a lot of people were like, nope, I have my BlackBerry. It does well for me. And that was how they stayed. And I bet a lot of people are saying the same thing. Like, people are like, hey, you know, Huawei is a new thing, guy. You know, there's OnePlus, there's Google as well. And then people are like, nope, I have my my S8.
Yeah.
S7. So yeah. That could actually change. You never know.
Yeah, considering the shady choices that Samsung has been making, we might see a change in that. I'm being honest. We might actually see a change in that.
Yeah, because they keep dropping market share.
And they're copying Apple. I mean, yeah, the superior one. So why copy?
Yeah, but they've always been doing that. That's the thing. They've always been copying Apple for... Like, dude, they've been copying Apple since. Like, when the iPhone came out, like, Samsung engineers thought, why should we even work? Because a lot of the, like, especially design decisions, you can see that they clearly got it off of the iPhone.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is actually quite funny. I don't know why Apple... But then Apple, we've also seen Apple do the same thing. We've also seen Apple do the same thing in recent years. So they're both living off each other.
Yeah, I mean, of course, with technology, when you create something new, right, there would always be people who would get your idea and try and use it. But then I think the difference is that with Samsung. It was blatant. It wasn't even like we're taking the idea and making something new. That's something that Google does. Google, usually they say, oh, look, Apple have a new Touch ID.
Yeah.
They say, great, fingerprint sensor is actually the future. So maybe they incorporate it, but then they change the idea of how they do it.
Yeah.
So maybe they put it at the back of the phone because it's much better there. Then they use it for other things other than unlocking the phone. Like, you know, the whole notification, if you slide down with the fingerprint on the Pixel, it'll slide down the notifications. They have different ways of using it, which is innovative. And I think Samsung, they barely do that.
Anyways, speaking of Android versus iOS, Match.com did a social experiment on this. So it actually turns out that
Match.com being a dating website like Tinder, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
So actually it turns out that the mobile device you have might actually be squandering your chances of finding your soulmate.
I looked at this story and I thought this is one of the silliest things I've seen in a long time.
But I can actually say it's true because I've actually experienced this firsthand.
Really? Like someone just said, oh, you have an Android. No, thank you.
Not really that way, but then, okay. So then the results or the data from the research shows that iOS device owners are 21 times more likely to scrutinize or turn you down if you own an Android device, or most likely to hate it, whilst Android device users are 15 times likely to do the same
to iPhone users.
Yes,
that's actually very strange. Because I know these studies are very interesting. I mean, I saw one about political preferences in America, especially. Like, if like Republicans are not interested in dating Democrats from two different parties. Like, if you're from one party, I'd rather date someone who would be from the same party. That was a trend that was rising in the States. So then to see this is also very interesting, because it's kind of the same thing where people are like, nope, I'm only going to date for the iPhone users. But I think it's probably because when you look at it, it's about, like, if someone gets an iPhone, you can see what are they interested in. Yes. They're more interested in design. They're more interested in a name. Then someone who buys an Android is more interested in, like, customizing and being different.
And the other thing is that iOS devices are generally just viewed as these are the elite users. You know, I mean, elite people in society, considering that they're using an $800 device. And most people that are using Android are using it because it's cost efficient. Very few people, I can say, for the Android,
especially in Africa.
Yeah. For those people that use Android, very few people are using premium to meet budget devices. The rest are using, budget devices.
And that's, I think that's another thing, because if you go on a date on someone and you're like, and the person rocks up a Galaxy Pocket and you have an iPhone, you'll be like,
yeah, exactly. So then, people who own iPhones are just generally seen in society as being elite or above the rest.
But then I wonder how would you like do it? How would you go on a date with a pocket though? I'm curious. Like, Uber, you just say, I mean, you don't have Uber in Zimbabwe, but then if you're in like South Africa or somewhere, then you have to take up an Uber and like you take out your pocket, and then you know you just, and the screen is so small.
Hey.
But yeah, hey, I won't judge.
I feel like you've already offended somebody who's listening to this. But then, hey, you know, if it's all you got, you gotta make it work, right?
Yeah, like, that's true.
You gotta hustle somehow. So yeah, and the other thing in this thing that it also shows that men who go to dates with phones that have broken screens tend off to give a bad first impression to the women.
But why? Why would someone care if your screen's broken?
I don't know. Women are just generally judgmental people. Hey,
I think you've offended someone on this who's listening to the show right now.
No, I'm being honest. Considering, wait, but then if I were to go on a date and there was a girl, then she pulls out a phone with a broken screen. Obviously, I would be concerned. It would mean that she's clumsy or something like that, or something of that sort. So then, obviously,
or she has an iPhone.
Still, it means she's clumsy.
I have seen people who've dropped iPhones from less than 20 centimeters,
and they still crack.
And it cracked, yes.
Yes, and I don't know. Basically, that gives off a really bad impression amongst people, especially like peers. At school and everything. At my school, people always laugh about that.
Because your screen's cracked, isn't it?
Yeah, all over the place.
I won't comment on that. But then talking about giving a bad impression, Uber... Okay, so I'm sure... Okay, if you don't know what Uber is, it's basically an app or a company that has an app where you can hail a taxi. It's basically a glorified taxi system for ride-sharing. So, what they had done is that they basically had this issue where they weren't treating their drivers properly. They had some controversy concerning how they've treated their drivers and how much they were paying them. Because they're very strict standards for their drivers. Like, there's a review system that every customer has to give every time they take a ride. So they have to, like, give a rating to the driver.
Yeah.
And if it's less than 5-star, the driver's out. Like, even once. Yeah. So you could go like for 3 straight up months, 5-star, 5-star, 5-star. If someone just decides, I don't like you, 4-star, you're fired.
Wow, that is the end. That is, what if, that is really bad. I mean, what if you just happen to give off a really bad first impression, or something happens that's beyond your control? Like the passengers break out into a fight or somebody attacks you. Like there was actually an incident whereby one of the drivers was harassed by by one of the passengers, and he couldn't do anything because, well, the passenger basically yelled at the driver that I'll give you a bad review.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that. A lot of passengers actually do threaten the drivers with, if you don't do this, I will give you a 4-star. Like, it's not even like, I will give you a bad review. I will give you a 4-star. And 4 out of 5 stars.
So, yeah, I basically feel like, in this case, I sympathize with the drivers because they're basically being pushed into the corner here. And they've, sorry about that. I just burped. They've nothing to do in this case. Yes.
And, okay, so then now to make things worse, or what they thought would have made things better, Uber, was that they had a Q&A section on Facebook calling just people to ask any question they want to Jeff Jones. He is the president of Uber. So he just went on and said, hey, guys, just ask me any questions and I'll answer them. So you'd think now drivers would go on Facebook and then ask him some serious questions like, why aren't you paying us well? We don't appreciate the way you've treated us and whatnot, like serious concerns.
Yep.
The guy goes out and replies some silly questions like, hello. And then his answer is, hey. Someone else asked, are you here, Jeff? And then his answer was, I'm here in San Francisco, just getting started. Those are the answers he was giving. And then after 30 minutes, he was like, yep, I'm done. And he left and he stopped answering questions.
Wow.
And yeah, he did give one very serious answer when someone asked him. Well, it wasn't a question. It was just a straight up comment. We need to get paid more and treated like humans. That was one of the drivers. And, you know, his reply, the president was, the president, Jeff Jones, that is, we are fixing the way we communicate with you and provide support to you. These are 100% about treating drivers with respect and as people. There's a lot that goes into earnings, things like earning on your way home with driver destinations or back-to-back trips. You know, basically just that company partner that they put there just to make things look good, and that, don't worry, we care for you. Like, nothing that actually answers the questions.
Those are sweet nothings. I mean, that is
yeah, exactly. That's actually the perfect word for it. Sweet nothings.
That is one way, one nice way of dodging a question. I mean, this is like an apple response. We're doing this because we're different.
Exactly.
There's no reasoning behind it. We want to distinguish ourselves. Think different. Yes, yes.
The only thing that has changed is everything. They literally used it once. I think it was for this iPhone 6. But then you look at this, and I think why I wanted to talk about this was because of just in general how companies interact with social media and how that has changed. Because when you look at, for example, Mountain Dew, that's another funny example I like of looking at companies that interact with social media. When you don't do it properly, things can go terribly wrong. So Mountain Dew is a drink owned by Pepsi Cola. It's basically like lemonade soda. And they make good lemonade and soda. Mountain Dew is actually pretty good. So they were like, hey guys, we're making a new flavor. Why don't you name it? So they gave it to the internet and said, here's a poll on their website. Give it any name you want.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, putting measures in place and saying, okay, we need to actually, you know, put like bounds and limits because, you know, things could go
more into this. Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't. They were like, yeah. And then someone said, Hitler did nothing wrong.
Wow.
Flavor.
Wow.
And guess what?
People actually liked it.
It won. Not people liked it. It won. It won by like 60-70% of the vote.
Wow.
It was clear because they had this whole thing where it was live and they were showing everything. So Hitler did nothing wrong was the winner. It was like officially the winner. And then Mountain Dew looked and they were like,
how did they handle that situation?
Yeah. They kind of just dropped it and said, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. And it was out of the picture.
That is really smart. But then it was stupid in the first place because they didn't monitor this or at least give people a rough boundary, not to say this, no racial slurs, not this, not that.
Or just if something went out of bounds, they said, you know, or just give people options, like say you submit your options, then we'll pick the ones that make sense or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is where you say terms and conditions really should apply. Because if they don't, it just gets out of hand.
Okay, back to Uber. But then, you know, I feel like Uber is really in a bad spot right now, considering they're already losing people. I mean, they had that funny scandal with the CEO and Trump last month. And
yeah.
And Uber lost about 230,000 accounts in a week.
That's... Well, what? They yes. lost. They
people
lost
people deleted their accounts in protest.
They lost more accounts than people bought Blackberries in a year. That's insane. That's actually crazy. That's actually very crazy. And but Uber, that's the thing. They've always been very clear that they don't care about their drivers. It's not like they're being neglectful. They've just straight up said, we don't care about you. Because they've been pushing this agenda of, we want self-driving cars. We're going to invest in self-driving cars. Almost as if drivers are just, this is just like, you know, temporary thing that we need to do right now because we don't really have the technology. But then if we had the choice, we wouldn't have them. And it's really terrible, I think.
I mean, they should just work with what they have right now and try to make the best of it. And yeah. at least have good publicity in this case. Because, well, it's the only thing that's keeping them afloat.
Look, their name is Uber. Like, that name really defines anything. Because Uber, it means basically extremely, like super, like yes. a lot. So Uber is just Uber. Like, it's Uber, Uber. It feels weird saying it like that. Uber, Uber.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked. Well, they have these funny, they have these very interesting goals. Like, we want to change transportation around the whole world. But then, you know, they've yet to come. They've only, in Africa, they're only in Nairobi and Johannesburg and Cape Town, I think.
Life, that really sucks. What about Zimbabwe? We want Uber in Zimbabwe. I mean, we're sick and tired of those shuttle buses. Yes, we want Uber. Give us Uber. We have Netflix here. We just got it last year. We want Uber also.
Uber is, but Uber, how much is it? Like, it's quite expensive though. That's the thing. Like, even in the West, it's very expensive. Like, a lot of people complain.
Okay, so we want Lyft then.
Yeah, a lot of people have been moving to Lyft though.
Yeah.
In protest of all of this.
Yeah, Lyft is really capitalizing off this. Okay, and the other thing that also happened this week is during the year 2016, Zimbabwe. How do I start this? I went wrong about this.
What?
Okay, a lot of people in Zimbabwe use DSTV, and DSTV, yeah, it's really common in Zimbabwe. I mean, people are using $45 million per year, giving it.
Oh yeah, that figure was thrown out.
So yeah, DSTV just announced an increase in their price for subscriptions. So all their subscriptions are going up by either 7% or 4%.
This is in South Africa, right?
This is in South Africa. So now, what's concerning people is that since in 2016, Zimbabwe didn't experience any price increase, this might actually hit people.
Yeah, and it's a small increase, but then it does change a lot in how people manage things. Especially, I mean, this is an increase in South Africa with rands. We never know how it could resonate here with our dollars.
Yeah, exactly. And with all of these bond notes that jumped in recently.
Yeah, you never know how far it would go. Because, I mean, like, for a lot of us, like, I don't really watch TV that much. I'm just, you know, on YouTube and whatnot, and a lot of people are moving. And I told you, at this rate, people are going to move more into Netflix and, you know, Hulu and other internet streaming services. Because, to be frank, DSTV and cable, as they have in the States, and they're becoming more and more expensive and,
yes.
you know, unreliable, and people, they're not liking it. Why should I pay $70 when, if it rains just a wee bit, I can't watch TV?
Exactly. So, I don't know, this increment in price is actually going to really affect people. I mean, people are going to suffer. Right now, how much is that is the most expensive DSTV subscription for the
in
Explorer?
South Africa?
No, for in Zimbabwe.
In Zimbabwe?
Yeah. It's almost $100, right? It's what?
Yeah, because you first pay it's about $95. Yes, $95 to $100.
Exactly. So then, 95 plus another 7%. So that's probably going to be like what? Another $5, $5, $6 or $4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to affect people. It might not be in a large way, but then over time, it's going to set people, especially those people that work with a budget.
Yeah, it's going to, and a lot of Zimbabweans work with a budget. So it's going to really change the dynamics of how this works.
Yes.
And on that note, talking about change, we've seen that Apple are very willing to change. We've seen that they're very willing to do things that we don't like.
Change.
And They do it in a way that they say, listen, okay, we've done this before, so you can just trust us, because the iMac came out. Because we're Apple. The iMac came out without any legacy ports.
Yes.
When it came out. Yes. And now the iPhone 7 came out without a headphone jack. Now,
the MacBook didn't have an escape button.
Jeez. I swear when I heard that, I thought it was a joke. Like, I really thought it was some sort of meme, and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. That's funny, hey? Then I was like, wait.
This is serious. It was actually serious, yes.
And finally, we might see, like we said, we might see the new iPhones come out with a new port. They want to get rid of Lightning, basically.
Wait, what are they calling it?
Oh, and I know a lot of people are now thinking, oh, yeah, of course, they're going to go with the USB-C port. That's the universal one that they had on the MacBook and the one they have on a few phones, like the Moto. I think Moto G has it. But then, guess what? They want to use their own port again. They don't want to go with the rest of the world. Everyone's going to USB-C, and everyone was defending Apple, saying, "No, you see, Apple are trying to go universal with USB-C." But then now, on the new iPhone, they want to go with this new proprietary. Is it proprietary? I know it's not.
This port has been used for many years on cameras and other devices. And Apple has just been Apple. They want to make everything fancy, and they're probably gonna give it another name. It's called the Ultra. Oh, they're calling it the Ultra Accessory Connector.
Yeah, if you've ever owned a Nikon camera, you'd know it's called the UCE6. That's what Nikon calls it.
Yeah,
the cable's called the UCE6.
Or a mini Ultra Mini Connector. Yeah, it's basically like a shrinked version of USB.
The micro USB.
Yeah, micro USB.
It's very small. So that's the reason that they want to use it. It's because of its size. The fact that it's small. So they wanted to do it. But when I looked at the news behind it, it seems to be another motive is to sell, you know, accessories. Because, again,
I can see this being problematic for people in the future. Considering that that pin or that cable is very fragile and very weak.
Yeah, because I actually had a point and shoot camera. I think it was a Sony that used that cable. You can't imagine how scared I was every time I had to actually connect it. Because it was like,
if you push too hard, you might break it. If your device pains whilst charging, you might break it.
Exactly.
So this is really going to be problematic. And the other thing, Apple might also ditch the physical home button.
Well, that of course, because the physical home button is becoming archaic, really.
Yeah, it is.
Because, look, the Pixel doesn't have one. I think Google, the one who started the idea of let's not have buttons. Was there any Nexus that had buttons on it?
There were volume rockers.
Well, of course, the volume. I'm talking about the home. None of them had the front
button.
Samsung are the only company that I know, and OnePlus, I think, are the only two companies that I know that push the button agenda.
Yes.
But then that, of course, has to come to an end. How about you in a bit? The day the iPhone comes out without a button, the next Galaxy S, whatever, would come out without a button too.
Now that's obvious.
It's silly because it's not like they're making decisions because of their own, like, individual, like, hey, we want to make this decision because as a company we're going in this direction. It's like they're reacting to Apple.
Exactly. And, well, OnePlus, at least OnePlus gives people the option to choose.
Yeah, exactly.
You can use the button, or you can disable the button and completely do the funny swipe thing up to review those funny...
The software buttons.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the software buttons because they're very, you know, they're very easy to use than having, like, especially when the buttons don't respond and stuff, it becomes an issue. I always see people with iPhones where the button doesn't work. Like, you know the...
Touch ID.
Not the Touch ID. On the actual phone, they have that accessibility thing that they have.
Yes.
I hate that thing. And just floating everywhere and using it. And it's like, oh.
Well, and guess which company also made something similar to that?
What?
Samsung.
Oh, yeah. The funny quick action button. Oh, that thing is so annoying. And I hated that thing.
Samsung. I feel like Samsung is running out of ideas. Same thing with Apple. But then, at least Samsung is like the second smartest student in the class, and Apple is, well, in this case, let's just say the smart one for the sake.
No. I think Samsung is more like the student who has that potential to do well. Like, yes. You look at him, he's like, this guy can be a genius.
But he's too lazy.
So what does he do? He copies from the smart kid. And then you can clearly see that there's intelligence here. But then it's obviously not
original. Potential. And honestly, Samsung has so much potential. It has all
They have the money.
Since, considering it's an... Come on.
They have the money.
Yeah.
They have the brand. They have the worldwide reach. They have the name now.
Exactly.
They have everything to become what they want to be, but they're still being pushed by Apple. But I think if the S8 comes out, we can really have a good idea of where they're going.
Yeah, like I was saying, I mean, Apple, considering Samsung is one of the biggest Android brands, like, out there, yeah, they have the influence to make change.
Instead of Apple forcing them to change, they could actually force other people to change.
Yes. But now...
Yeah. So, yeah, that's been how it is the past few days. And I think we'll have to call it a day. Thank you for listening. My name is Dion. You can catch me on Twitter at...
Dion Springer.
I am Dion Spring.
Dion Springer.
What is
Gary
Dion Springer?
Springer.
No, come on. Gary, where can they find you?
You can catch me on Instagram. My name is Hugo King Flacco.
And if you want to follow the podcast, we're on Facebook and Twitter.
And Instagram. At Technology Podcast. This is for Instagram.
And for Facebook and Twitter, just look for Technology FM. So www.facebook.com/Technology FM.
And don't forget to hit me up. Hit me up on Instagram. My name is Hugo King Flago. Not Flago.
Flago.
Hugo dot King Flago. The dot is actually a full stop. So it's Hugo dot Flago. FLACKO. Yes, I actually spelled it right.
Yeah, so Dion Spring, I am, then DionSpring. Thank you for listening. And yeah, have a great one.
And now. Capital 263.